This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's hour one of the G-Bag Nation on 105 through the Fan. We're live in Arlington today, one of our favorite municipalities in the Metroplex, and we're right off 30 here at Shell Shack. Everybody that joins us here today will be entered to win a dinner for four right here at Shell Shack, a great place to get something delicious to eat and drink. So we'll be here for the next 5 hours. General, at your service, salute to you. There's Broadus, former Cowboy Scout, NFL executive, on fire yesterday in the pregame and postgame show and on our Football Friday show. We'll have you know. Lucius Alexander's back home in the Pimp Cup. Master Control there, 75, and Fitzhugh. You do have your Nosebleed Brothers, Woolchuck and Chiafalo here, and Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. And, yes, great win, you know, at least a fun win. You'll take them how you can get them. But I thought it carved out two potential narratives. Maybe, hopefully, the Cowboys aren't that bad. You know, they got something going. Maybe Cooper Rush knocks off the rust a little bit, something they can play some more entertaining football, you know, and start building towards next year. I think that's what we want to see, a combination of losses but progress, really, to satisfy both things. But, you know, the other narrative is maybe just Washington is not quite ready to be an actual contender there with that that defense, the offense, you know, slowing down a little bit. So, I mean, I think both those are potentially really good things. I just need to see some follow-up against the Giants, you know. And then for the rest of the season, play respectable football. Don't look like one of the worst teams, because once you're one of the worst teams, it is a big gap, you know. And maybe things get away from you. Maybe you're not, you know, playing your best football for a lot of the time. Then your starting quarterback goes down. But if you can pull out of this, maybe we could start thinking about this being a wild card team again next year. That's what I'm hopeful for right now. Anybody buying or selling that?
For next year, yeah. I mean, I could buy that. I mean, I think we see very quickly how the landscape in the NFL changes year to year. I mean, I don't think preseason any of us were looking at Minnesota thinking that's a team that's going to be competing for the number one seed in the NFC right around Thanksgiving. That's where they are. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're seeing the impact that it's making, getting a little bit healthier on defense. I think Mike Zimmer, as the year has gone on, that defensive scheme, the players buying in, understanding the defense has taken strides every single week, that side of the football is still looking good. Offensively, yesterday was the most balanced, I think, McCarthy's called the game all year. Leading into the week, I don't want to hear about the rushing attempts. Don't tell me about running the football. You don't want to do it. You just threw the football 55 times against Houston, and that game was not out of hand until about midway through the third quarter. But yesterday they did. He had good balance, and that was in spite of having two backup offensive linemen. And it was actually nice for the first time all year, maybe since Cleveland, they won the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football. And I didn't expect that to happen. I thought that defensive front for Washington had been playing really well. They were going to take advantage of a mash unit up front for the Cowboys. That didn't happen. Cooper Rush got the ball out quick. And then defensively, they got after it. and Chauncey Golston, Josh Butler. Some of these guys really stepped up and had good games.
Micah was a monster.
Micah was fantastic. I mean, he got credited for defensive tackle lineup there. And, he was one of the, I think he was the second most successful defensive tackle in the sport.
That's right.
Compared to Dexter Lawrence of the Giants, which is insane. So you're starting to see the use of him. That's what we expected from Mike Zimmer. So there are trends in a positive direction, but they still were not good on third down offensively. They scored two touchdowns on offense. You've got drives that are stalling in the red zone due to penalties or just poor play calling and execution. I don't think that this is a team that is good, but yeah, it was nice to see positives instead of just, oh my God, here's another 20 to 30 point loss. And it does. I mean, it bodes well for certain areas looking ahead to next year. It's not they're not as bad as it always looks like they are in the league. Like you're never as bad as you think, or probably as good as you think.
So how many things did you call, Brian? You got moving Micah around to get him on the worst lineman. We got the penalty on Guyton. We got too many men in the huddle for Washington, right?
Yeah, there was just going into the game, you kind of felt like there's things you could study. You know, there's metrics you can look at.
There's tips you can give.
Yeah, there's just thing that the tight ends, you know, they gave up five touchdowns to tight ends, you know, in the red zone. And, you know, what number six was yesterday? They blew the coverage with Jeremy Chinn, and, you know, they were trying to play too deep. They didn't play too deep. And next thing you know, Schoonmaker gets behind. Great job by Cooper Rush, understanding that there was no safety in the middle of the field. And he just threw it over the top. And, you know, those are the kinds of things you have to have happen. I think one of the reasons why they ran the ball successfully yesterday, at least with Rico Dowdle, you know, to the point where you felt decent about the running game, you finally had a healthy right guard, you know, even as a backup.
Really?
Even as a backup over there.
Hoffman was moving people.
Hoffman and Steele working together. And they were able to get some push. And unfortunately for Zach Martin,
addition by subtraction,
he hasn't been healthy. And that kind of is taken away. You know, when you watch it and you're thinking, wow, they look like to me they're getting some push off that right side. Healthy right guard was a big difference in that football game. Yes, and you know you also had the way that Rico Dowdle runs the ball. You know, and we talk about with Zeke. Something with Zeke, you know, maybe not a great game, you know, anymore of running the football. Him diving on that fumble, bad snap, up in the air, that ball's on the 21-yard line when he dives on it.
Yep.
He goes in there with all kinds of in the legs of offensive linemen and defensive linemen, big dudes looking, you know, for the ball, whatever. That right there was one of these plays where, okay, football intelligence, all that stuff. You kind of talk about maybe Zeke being a little crazy and you know, why do you play him? You're probably glad you had him on the field in that situation because he immediately identified what happened and dove on the football. There's a lot of things that could have gone really, really wrong for you in that game. And they had some guys that were able to step up and make up for some of the problems that they've had.
Who'd you guys give a play of the game to last night? Or which play? Was it Turpin?
Yeah, what
the
did
Turpin
you
return.
The Turpin return, I think, was the play of the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Player, we did go with Josh Butler.
Josh Butler,
I mean, he had his 12 tackles, led the team, three pass breakups, which was the most ever for a Cowboys.
They targeted him a lot.
Free agent.
Yeah, he had a lot of tackles because he was
targeted.
Giving up some balls, but it was an admirable game.
Let me
sure.
tell you what, man, for those guys to have to step in and play, I mean, you're thinking Diggs is going to be the starter, you know, and Bland,
addition by subtraction.
Yeah, and all of a sudden now you're, you know, you're Butler and you're thrown into the game, you know, with Terry McLaurin, you know, Brown, both Browns are, you know, Noah Brown not as good as the other Brown, but you know you're going to get attacked. They we've seen that left cornerback spot have some problems, and you know Brown did a Butler did a really nice job of you know the balls that were at him. Him making plays, him not, you know, sometimes you would think, okay, we're going to get defensive holding here, we're going to get pass interference, him going around playing offhand, knocking the ball down. You know, that's stuff you would just wish your starting cornerbacks would do. Here's a guy coming off the bench. The more opportunities he's got, really the better he has. I'm sure he'd like to have back the big touchdown pass to McLaurin. That ball couldn't have been fit in even a better spot. Between what you're talking,
five of those guys.
Yeah, you had Lewis and then Butler, and that ball went right where it needed to be, and now it was really the struggle to rally to the ball. They just didn't get anybody to the ball. And so,
well, he's a 4.75 40. He didn't stand a chance.
No,
oh my, I mean, he's a 28-year-old rookie. Basically.
Well, the thing about it is you had a lot of guys that could have got there and didn't get there.
Oh, yeah. So Butler's not a breakout guy then? He's just a depth piece that had a nice game?
He's a depth piece that had a really nice game, yeah, absolutely.
Right on. A lot of stuff to ask Brian about. His film report coming up at 3:40 inside Krusty's Corner. Guy has been on fire calling things for you all season long. Was Cooper Rush better? Do you think he shook off some rust? Is there any meat on that?
You know, I think Cooper Rush, his threshold of throwing the football was below that 2.5 range.
2.38.
Yeah, he was and what happens is the Commander's secondary is not that good. And that's why they go out and get a Marshon Lattimore, because they're not that good. So you're bad in the nickel, you're a little bit struggling at the cornerback spot. The safety play, they talk about that group. There's a lack of coverage back there. But you got protection.
Yeah.
If you look at overall, it's, you know, they didn't get killed. They didn't get killed with Fowler on the rush. They didn't get killed with Armstrong on the rush. They didn't get killed with Payne on the rush. It was like, I think, 5 or 6 pressures the whole entire game.
Well, and that goes to game plan, get the ball out quick and move in the pocket quite a bit as well.
And the one sack was really Cooper Rush going outside. They didn't give the sack to anybody. You know, if you look at the stat, I mean, it's...
Oh, late in the game?
Yeah, late in the game. It's just kind of like he went out there and fell down kind of a
trying
thing.
Trying to just milk some clock. That was another disaster, 2 plays in a row. I'm like, what was the design?
They're just trying to keep the clock running.
He starts running on the first play, though. Yeah. It's like, was he supposed to give it to somebody?
That was another... Some
chaos.
Of the decision-making and the in-game coaching. I mean, why wouldn't you challenge the spot if you're going to take a timeout early in the game? I still think there were definitely... If they had a loss, we'd be looking at Mike McCarthy today going, like, as well as I do think you did as a play caller, as the head coach, when it comes to some in-game decisions, I think there was definitely some miscues there on his part.
Yeah. It is the G-Bag Nation. We are live at Shell Shack in Arlington, just in the shadow of the stadium. There it is right over there, just over my right shoulder if you're watching on 105thefan.com.
Yeah, but Dawson, to your question, I think Cooper Rush did play better. If you look at him, how he saw the field and then them getting in and out of some runs, I think he did a much better job of handling this situation than the previous other two starts.
A lot to talk about with this game, though. I like the run scheme a little bit more. Seemed like they were going outside. Maybe we'll get follow-up on that at 3:40. I like that fake pitch outside of the throw in the middle.
That was a great play. Yeah, there you go. That's the creativity that we've all been kind of asking for, though. But it shows you, though, another thing. If you look at the metrics in this game, play action pass, Cooper Rush was 6 of 7 off play action pass for 89 yards. Well, how do you have play action pass? You have to have some threat that you're going to run the football.
Yeah.
And that just shows you right there. Nice gain there off that fake toss. It gets everybody to bite up and now gets Spann forward in a spot where he can make an easy catch.
Couple of stories out of New York here. Coach Daboll high-roading in the media after Malik Nabers had a passionate post-game take. And he was asked, you know, what needs to happen. He said, go ask Daboll. I go out there first, second quarter, don't get the ball.
Yeah.
Start getting targets at the end. I mean, can't do that. Start getting the ball when it's 30 to zip. What do you want me to do? So they're dealing with that as they come into AT&T Stadium on Thursday with the Cowboys as the rare favorite here in this game. Crazy scene at Auburn Saturday night. That was a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, my God.
Was it good for Aggie?
Holy moly.
Was it good for Aggie fans? And, you know, I mean,
who feels worse today, the Commander's kicker or whoever it was, that tight end who dropped that ball on the two-point conversion?
Well, it was a back.
That was a back.
That was a back. Yeah, that was their back. That what they did was they went kind of like Philly special almost, but they didn't throw the quarterback ended up throwing it back. But yeah, that was they snuck the back out, and yeah, that's
heartbreaking
dude. Play.
You feel so bad for a kid like that.
It was crazy.
It's funny because it's the Aggies, and it's just another one of those deals. But my gosh, what a heartbreaker!
And do the Auburn fans do that all the time? They're just
storm the field.
Like 100,000 people on the field for like 30 minutes after the game.
game. Oh yeah, just means more, baby. SEC.
They've only pulled even at
500. Yeah, and they're having a party. They just won the Natty.
That's right.
It's like Browns fans on Thursday Night Football, a 2-win team, and they just beat the Steelers, and they might as well have won the Super Bowl. There was confetti.
Yeah, they've only won one conference game this year, so that was
a moment.
Yeah. Well, it was the last home game at Auburn too this year. Is it probably another reason?
Oh, you run in the field too after beating out. I mean, that was shocking.
I'll tell you what, Oklahoma, that was a butt kicking.
Dude,
they just ran the
football all over them and played great defense. Yeah. It's crazy.
Brent Venables, man. Sorry for a lot of the things I've said.
It was rough for the SEC.
We got a little basketball tonight for you. Maybe you want to come by the Shell Shack and watch it here. We're in Arlington. Tough one last night, overtime loss to Miami. At least Klay Thompson shot the ball well. But he is questionable tonight with the plantar fasciitis.
That's not good, man.
You take the opportunity here to get him off his feet for a while and see what it looks like with more Najee Marshall and Quentin Grimes in the rotation, maybe?
I mean, anytime they say that plantar fasciitis, however you pronounce it, it's not a good thing.
And especially
for guys that go up and down the floor the way they do, the jumping, the cutting, that can't be good.
I was kind of hoping to hear some plantar fasciitis for Spencer Dinwiddie after last night's shooting performance. Good Lord. Make a shot, dude.
That dude has aged 10 years in the two that he's been away from.
He has two games a month where you're like, dude, Dinwiddie, let's go.
That's what I'm saying. I was listening to Mike and them talk about him, and every time that you're like ready for him to go wear the sweats, and then he comes out and knocks down some threes, and you're like, wow, maybe they just need to get him some more time. Yeah. You know, and I kind of agree with Mike on that. It's so up and down watching him play.
FIFA signed longtime sponsor Anheuser-Busch to a Club World Cup deal that'll promote the Budweiser and Michelob Ultra brands at the World Cup here in the U.S. next year.
Okay.
It's going to be a Budweiser tournament, Brian.
Yeah, well, didn't we have problems in there in Qatar where we couldn't really get our liquor sponsors on board for those things? And
they had to have beer tents.
They had to have beer tents.
You could go get drunk, but you better not stumble on the way out.
Yeah, they were not very happy. I think that Anheuser-Busch was it's an InBev company, too. They're a big part of U.S. soccer, so I don't know why they wouldn't be on board with the games coming up here soon.
Excited about that, for sure. Can't believe how close it is now, coming up on a year and a half away. Okay, G-Bag of the Day is coming up here in 14 minutes at 2:30. What do we got next, Wolchuk?
Let's do a little NFL true or fart with some overreactions from yesterday in the National Football League. That's next.
Here we go. Welcome back, Nation. We are live at Shell Shack in Arlington. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car or truck wreck in DFW, call the Frankels and get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankofirm.com. Here's Wolchuk.
Thank you very much. Come on out. We're partying here. Shell Shack out in Arlington. And anyone that's going to come out here while we are on, you get entered to win dinner for four. Up to $100 value, which is incredible. The food is delicious here. They got TVs all over the place. So if you want to come out, watch some Monday Night Football. We got the Harbaugh tonight with Ravens and Chargers. It's looking like Roquan Smith not going to play, though, for the Ravens. That would be a big loss for Baltimore. So come out. This is an awesome spot. They do $10 a pound live crawfish starting this Friday.
Yeah.
Happy hour from 2 to 6. They got that rocking right now. So say hello to us as we kick off a Thanksgiving week.
I heard I got a scouting report when I was here from our management team here that we got live crawfish coming in this week coming up. And they're really excited about the harvest. You know that they're
last year we had problems, right?
Last year you had problems because of the rain and stuff. So hopefully our crawfish will be, reasonably priced to start the season. There'll be plenty to grab.
All right, let's do some NFL true or fart with the overreactions from another crazy Sunday in the NFL. Take it away, Robert Flores.
All right, we've moved to the red zone as far as the running back conversation goes here on this SportsCenter Fantasy Draft Special. True or fart? False. Marshawn Lynch matches last year's production.
Thank you very much, Eric Chiafalo.
I'll go false.
I will start with you. I think you're right about that. The Commanders, they have now lost three in a row. They are 7-5. They are now going to miss the playoffs.
I just saw they're in the final wild card spot.
Yeah, I think they've got a 73% chance of making the wild card.
I know they still have the Eagles, the Falcons.
It helped them that the Rams and the Niners both lost yesterday.
Yeah.
That helps quite a bit, but I don't know. This Commanders offense is worrisome. Jaden Daniels didn't play bad yesterday.
They got Tennessee.
And that offense was still struggling. My goodness, dude. I think they could be in some real trouble there.
Tennessee by Saints. Eagles.
I still look and think they've got a favorable schedule, and yeah. I think the NFC right now, like the teams behind them, I don't have a ton of faith in.
Kind of feel
legitimate
like they
question
win.
Though, dude.
But they could.
It would be so funny for them to start the way they did, and then for them to fall off, and the Kingsbury narrative just continues where his offense is collapsed.
The second half of it's unbelievable.
Could their game against the Cowboys, the last game of the year, be for a playoff spot?
Absolutely,
I think it will be.
Yeah, absolutely,
100%. Yeah. They'll still be playing for their playoff lives right there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to lean fart on this, but it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, I'll probably do the same, old Chuck.
It wouldn't shock me.
That they miss?
Yeah, I'm going to say that they still get in. I think they get in with that seventh spot.
I think they get in, too. Yeah.
But now I think that the way Philly's playing, they're going to win the division this year.
NFC West is beating each other up every week. You know, yeah. It's a coin flip every game. So
How bad did Arizona look in Seattle?
They couldn't run the ball?
Couldn't run the ball.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, dude. Mike McDonald's Seahawks defense starting to really come alive right now in a big way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, how about that? I'll go to you here, Gavin Dawson. The Seahawks are actually going to be your NFC West champion.
I don't know. You know, that there's about a 25% chance for any of those teams. I guess they have some tiebreakers now, and they are 6-5. But Arizona 6-5, and both the Rams and Niners are 5-6. I think it's hilarious. The Niners have totally fallen apart. Christian McCaffrey coming back after the bye has not done anything for them. So I no longer expect a Niners run. I guess Seahawks make the most sense.
Yeah, dude, with the way their defense is playing right now, I mean, I and like you said, it's kind of just looking around the division, the Rams can't really get out of their own way right now. The Cardinals are just a little up and down. I do think at their best, the Cardinals are better. But, I mean, the Seahawks shut them down yesterday. I'm pretty sure James Conner had a 0% rushing success rate yesterday.
Holy That's cow. Crazy.
Like, not one play was a successful play for him. That's crazy.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, Seattle's kind of looking
their schedule?
Their schedule. It's they got Green Bay at home. They got Minnesota at home. They're at Chicago, and then they finish the season at the Rams. So
okay, well then let's look at the Cardinals, because the Cardinals, I mean, they're gonna hit the Vikings, but their schedule's easier because they're gonna get the Panthers and the Patriots coming up. So it's gonna come down to those two teams right there.
Yeah, it's wild that we're even talking about that, but I'll probably go fart on it as well. It does sound like Seattle's got a tougher schedule, but man, I mean, Jackson Smith and Jigba's been playing well. They can run the football with Kenneth Walker. As long as Geno's not turning the football over, I was super impressed with the way their defense played yesterday.
The Rams' defense looked as bad as anything the Cowboys have done all year. That was just pathetic last night.
Just got shredded. It absolutely did. Okay, NFC North here, Brian brought us. The Vikings-Lions game, week 18, final game of the season. That's going to end up not only deciding your division winner, but the number one overall seed in the NFC.
Wow. I will say that is probably going to be, man, who do the Vikings do have? I mean, we just talked about
the Vikings are going to lose plenty more games.
That's fart. The Lions, I'm riding with the Lions. I've talked about them as being one of the Super Bowl teams, this, that, and the other. No, the Lions are going to find a way to beat the Vikings. They're going to win the division, and they're going to get the number one seed.
Yeah, I'm with Broadus 100% on that. The Vikings actually have one of the tougher schedules to close it down. They still got the Cardinals, the Falcons, Bears, Seahawks, Packers, and Lions, dude. So no way. The Lions will have it wrapped up.
It's incredible how good of a job Detroit's done at keeping that defense playing really good football.
Such a high level.
Back-to-back 6 points allowed.
Yeah.
You kidding me? You know?
So. Yeah, it's the first time in the franchise. I mean, they're doing a lot of that.
Yeah, first time
in the franchise history.
Since 1934, a lot of that. Yeah.
It's crazy. It absolutely is. I'll go for it on that as well. I think eventually the Lions are going to add a cushion. The Vikings have been winning games that they've been trying to lose, quite frankly. I think they'll probably end up coming back down to earth here pretty soon. Okay, last one here, Brian brought us. Bryce Young for the Carolina Panthers has turned a corner.
Yeah, you know what? I was on the train of just series to series being positive. Don't look at the scoreboard. You know, I think maybe him sitting down for a little bit. You knew that everybody who's played Kansas City has given them their best shot. You knew that Carolina was going to give them their best shot. You know, it was a game I had for a bet payoff. Who else was with me? Chief, you and I both on that.
That's right.
Bet payoff. That was a heart attack almost there. Huh?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I will say this. He has played better.
He has.
And since he sat down, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they give Dallas all they can handle, you know, here coming up in a couple of weeks.
I mean, that game's not looking like a foregone conclusion. That's a victory.
Yeah.
He doesn't look totally busty anymore, but I'm not going to say he's on track to be a great franchise quarterback. Maybe in that second or third tier of guys if you get a good supporting cast around him.
Yeah, it looks like he could at least be a functional quarterback in the league, and that's a heck of a lot more than what we could have said. I mean, he stood in there and threw some balls in the pocket with dudes
great
in his
passes.
Face yesterday that were very impressed. I had a lot invested in that game, obviously. And I'm like, wow, dude.
Watching every play, like, no. What? Yes. No. Yes.
It's like every time they blitzed him, he was like, all right, boom, I got somebody.
Time now to go back into the Pimp Cup at 75 and Fitzhugh. Lucius Alexander. That's your G-back today.
Yeah, big lizard. Big lizard in the building. All right, how you boys doing all right on a Monday, huh?
We're good, man.
So good.
Doing great.
Yeah, appreciate it. That was so convincing.
How are you, Lucius?
So good. Yeah, I'm doing fine. Doing great.
I was trying to power down a grilled shrimp here at Shell Shack.
Okay.
Grilled shrimpies.
Okay.
Lucius, it's the rare Monday that feels like a Thursday.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm fantastic, honestly.
It's the old Monday Friday. All right, our winner right here is Jameis Winston. Pre-game, post-game, on Prime. Let's get right into it because I got a lot of audio for you boys today, all right? Here he is pre-game on Prime Video.
You have said you don't become a Brown until you beat the Steelers. What will it take tonight?
The horse is prepared for battle.
Jeez.
But victory comes from the Lord. So I'm depending on the Lord.
Is that the message to the team?
Day by day, one play at a time. That's the message.
Weather conditions tonight. We're expecting winds up to 15 miles per hour in a wintry mix. How will that impact your ability to throw the ball?
I am so happy and grateful that the Lord has blessed me to play in some snow, to be in true football weather in Cleveland, Ohio at Huntington Bank Field today to get him the glory. It's a beautiful day.
Sure feels like you're playing in the AFC North.
It is. It's magical. Thank you.
It's magical, baby.
Magical.
Here's how that game ended.
Never get enough.
Snow. The Cleveland Browns got some more wins, baby. Let's get it. I just got to tell you, buddy. I just got off Amazon, and I'm probably about to go and order a dub.
A dub.
Amazon is going to get here to my house by 9 o'clock tonight. That's how fast it is.
A dub.
A dub.
A dub. All right, let's get right into it right here. High school football. Texas high school football. Piper High School was eliminated from the UIL playoffs this past weekend, I believe on a Friday. RIP to them. Great job. Good effort, guys.
It went into overtime.
So, yeah, great job. Good effort. They lost by 1 point in overtime to Corpus Christi Flower Bluff with the game-winning two-point conversion. The high school broadcasters are hella happy about it, too.
This is your ball game. Palucio in shotgun. Split set. One receiver to the right. Simpson in the backfield. Takes the snap. Palucio looking. Throwing. Dixon. He's got
it.
Yes!
That's awesome.
He got it.
Yeah, they're pretty
I'm so
excited.
So glad they won, dude. I have no idea what that would have sounded like on the losing end.
Yeah. He missed it.
They were so worked up for that.
Yeah, I want to know who this was with that high-pitched scream.
Dixon! He's gone!
They got it! Yes! What?
That's so much.
Who are you,
bro? Gotta be the engineer.
That's amazing.
Who gotta be the engineer.
Who are you?
Who are you, my G? All right, let's see what else I got for you boys on a Monday.
I imagine that was Broaddus and Wolchuk in the studio yesterday when Turpin was scoring that touchdown.
Oh, man, it was a fun game.
He steps back. Yeah, Sharpie went crazy with that one.
He did.
I mean, that foot, you're going to see that mimicked everywhere. It's going to be high schoolers trying to do it, college people trying to do it. That foot will get mimicked to the end of the season, dog. Real talk. Let's see what else we got right here. Oh, postgame. Cowboys postgame. This is a long clip. You fools. Zach and Broadus.
Yes.
Jeremy in San Antonio.
Yes.
Yeah, a little smoke for you fellas.
This guy
had some smoke.
Jeremy in San Antonio, what's up, dude?
Oh, my man said he had some smoke. Wait a minute. You ain't gonna get past me today, bro. Let me see.
LLJ Cool J.
What else we got right here?
Oh, yeah. Foshes, foshes.
Right. You're going to get it past me, brother. All right, here we go.
Jeremy in San Antonio, what's up, dude?
Thank you for giving me some of your precious time. I need a little bit of what Uncle Jim is drinking over there in his glass because I'm not really excited about this lipstick on a pig.
Okay.
And you guys want to call us to task, the Cowboys fans, about calling in and saying we should tank.
Yeah.
At what point will you guys at the mothership hold this franchise to task?
You're full of S right now. You're completely full of S.
Jeremy, we've been doing it after every single postgame show.
We have our shows call these guys to task. You know? We're respectful about it.
I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with you.
No. What is it that you don't agree with?
What more do you want us to do? What more do you want us to do?
How long does this have to go on?
Well, how much more do you mean has to go on?
We're talking about how fancy and how fun this win is, and it's crap. This culture is crap. The leadership is not good.
They're going to feel okay.
At what point can we hold this franchise accountable?
We do.
At what point where you guys will... You're full of crap.
I did it last week.
You are so full of crap about this.
I did it last week after the loss. I said that Jerry shouldn't even be doing the interviews anymore. Jeremy, open up your damn ears and listen. Do you listen to the postgame show every week, Jeremy?
Do you?
Every
single week.
Well, then you're lying. You're lying
right now.
Longer than you guys have been on the air.
That's fine. Oh, okay. That's awesome.
Sure.
But if you're listening, I've done exactly that. I've done exactly that.
Look at the way you're reacting.
Look at the way you're calling in just being BS.
It's not BS.
Bring him up.
Jeremy. It's not awesome. BS.
Only thing that would have made that better is if Blake was there to say the whole word.
Yeah. What? We could say that. What do you mean?
I was thinking about Blake as I was saying it, actually, yeah.
Yeah, he started off like a nice guy.
Yeah,
and then he went into it.
He did.
Kind of reminded me of a guy in Canada that was interviewing Mike Tyson. And Mike Tyson said, "Hey, man, you come off like a nice guy, but really, you're a piece of ass."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Turn off your station.
Yeah. Last one right here. We're up against it, but yesterday was a church day. I pray you got your blessing. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes. Hey! And prayers and healing energy to T.D. Jakes. I don't know what's going on with that situation.
Yeah.
My sister works for T.D. Jakes, and I hit her up, and I was like, what's going on? And she was even playing it close to the cuff. So I said, damn, they must be paying you, girl. Yeah. You won't even tell your brother? Here's a church joke about Job's wife. You guys familiar with Job's wife?
Not just Job's wife.
Job's story. Are you familiar with Job's story?
It's maybe a top three story in the Bible for me personally.
Yeah.
It's unfathomable. The level of faith that this guy had is just truly unmatched. And his wife.
Yes.
Foolish woman.
Yeah, okay. God was wearing him out, taking everything from him, giving him all types of ailments and stuff to test his faith.
And I just got blessed with a good wife. Not every guy has a good wife. Sorry. I mean, think about Job in the Old Testament. Think about Job's wife. She must have been a real piece of work. I mean, the devil took everything from Job, man. Killed his kids, killed his servants, killed his livestock, covered Job in boils and sores. But his wife did not die. That's saying something right there, isn't it? Like, hey, devil, Job's wife's right over there. I know. Trust me, leave her. I know what I'm doing.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
bring him up.
Yeah.
Is it your church day blessing story of Job? Is it Cowboys post game with Jeremy? I liked it when Wolchuk told him to open up his damn ears.
Me too.
Open up your damn ears.
I had enough of that.
We'd had enough.
I've been kicking this team in the nuts the entire season.
Yeah.
Piper High School eliminated by CC. And you got Jameis Winston, our reigning G-Bag of the Day champion. Whew. They're all worthy, gentlemen. I'm just going to close my eyes and pick one, and that'd be the Piper High School football play-by-play team, Chief.
Open up your damn ears.
There it is. Lucius?
Church comedy.
We're still tied at one, Wolchuk.
We're going to be all over the place on this one.
I think I'm going to go with the high school football call.
You know you want to go with yourself, bro. Go with your heart, dog.
High school football.
I'm voting for us.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go, Broadus.
I'm making this, what, 2-2, Dawson? Is that that is?
Yeah.
What do you do then?
Then you go out and you vote. We're going to post this thing and you go vote. Yeah. Vote.
Yeah, get on to @GBagNation. We'll create an Insta poll here. Who is your G-Bag of the day? Put it on 5 minutes so we'll have the winner when we return. We are live at Shell Shack in Arlington, right down the street from AT&T Stadium. And everybody that enters this establishment today will be entered to win a dinner for four valued at up to $100. Okay, so we got post-game versus Piper, post-game versus Piper on @GBagNation. All of our handles are in the bio, so you can follow us all when you get there. Maybe we'll follow you all right back. Now, did we get word on if the Mike McCarthy presser is next, Brian?
No, it is at 4:45.
Okay, great. So coming up next here, it's time for a chuck wagon then, Zachary.
All right, well, let's go ahead around the hockey world. We've also got a new pitcher in L.A. with the Angels, and how about some craziness in college football? That is next.
That is right, Lucius. Thank you, sir. We're live at Shell Shack in Arlington, right off 30, you know, just 28B, I think, was the exit that I took. Quick left. You're going to find us here. And everybody that comes in today is going to be entered to win. Dinner for four right here at Shell Shack, up to a $100 value. So, thanks for putting them in your rotation. Time now to put Zach Wolchuk back in our rotation here with a little Monday Chuck Wagon here, Victory Monday Chuck Wagon.
Yes, it is. All right, we start with, my goodness, maybe the biggest game in terms of viewership that I anticipate for the entire college football season that's going to happen this weekend at Kyle Field. And this one, it's more now than just we get the renewed rivalry of Texas and Texas A&M.
Yep.
Everything is on the table in this one as the Aggies and Longhorns will meet up, and the winner now will go get to play Georgia in the SEC championship game. So it'll be the first time for A&M to be playing in that matchup, and also, of course, for Texas in their first year in the SEC. So also, loser of this game, probably eliminated from the playoff, because I don't think Texas, they're going to say, who's your signature win? Do they have one right now? And that's not their fault. They scheduled Michigan. Michigan's just down this year. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the teams in the SEC that they beat, maybe Vandy, you go on the road and beat Arkansas. You know, what is the win right now that the Horns can say, okay, for us, this was the signature win? It would probably be the A&M game if they're able to win it. And then for the Aggies, obviously, you beat the Longhorns, then you get to go take on Georgia. So this is going to be huge. Quinn Ewers hurt his ankle. He got MRIs done. I think he's probably going to be good to play in this matchup against Texas A&M, but I can't wait. And now when you add in, you've got a trip to the SEC championship game on the line, not to mention just the Lone Star Showdown being reborn at A&M, one of the best environments in all of college football. This is going to be absolutely legendary.
Yeah, the history, the buildup to it, this thing is just everything that you could hope for and more. I love this time of year where college football fans are devastated on Saturday night, and then by Monday morning they're, you know, starting to look at the glass half full, and now they have their new goal in mind, and it's like, you know, we got to win this, we got to get to the SEC title game. I love that. And it's all coming together to drive prices higher than they've ever been. The average ticket earlier today, $1,030. And it's now the richest or the most expensive average ticket for any college football game ever, besting Ohio State from Michigan, I think, from last year. And the highest average ticket, it would best the highest average ticket for any NFL regular season game as well. So this is the most expensive regular season football game we've ever had, Wolchuk.
And rightfully so, man. This is, I cannot wait to see and hear what the environment is going to be like. Because I think we're talking about just record-setting environment with what is going to be meeting the Longhorns when they stroll into Kyle Field. Like, that is just going to be fantastic. And now they're off an emotional letdown loss there. Four overtimes. I mean, that bodes well for Texas there, having a team that had to go that deep into a game, and then you lose. How do you respond from that? But this is exactly what we would have been hoping for at the beginning of the season. This is an all the marbles game. It's phenomenal.
It is. It's going to be absolutely epic. I can't wait. I mean, the SEC, the craziness that went down this weekend, you have OU and Auburn. They storm the field. They end up getting the $100,000 fine from the SEC. But it was craziness. The Arizona State game. You've got the 1 second left on the clock. Everybody stormed the field. Their coach is
hilarious.
Mother effing the officials. He's like, no, the game is over. He is hilarious. I mean, if you watch his post game interview, that dude's got to be on some like Adderall or something's going on
every week.
He is so damn alert. That dude is like, I don't think he blinks. Maybe he just taught himself the Bob Lilly where he just flicks his eyelids so now he never blinks. But that Arizona State team is fun right now. But there was just so much chaos that went down on Saturday. And then, of course, Florida. Florida's now on a run. They beat Ole Miss. Ole Miss now gets knocked out of the playoff picture. Indiana gets run by Ohio State. Can you keep Indiana in? I don't think so, personally.
No.
Same reason why you would take Texas out. What's their signature win right now?
Let me ask you this. Okay, potentially for Texas, say they were to lose the A&M game, are they better than a one-loss Indiana team?
Yes.
A two-loss Texas team better than a one-loss Indiana team?
Yes.
If it came down to that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to kind of look at the possibilities if Texas were to lose this and who could be in. You know, Georgia's obviously, you know, they're going to be in there. Georgia's a two-loss team. We think they'll beat Georgia Tech this weekend, right? That will get them to 10-2 and then with a chance to win in the SEC. What about Tennessee? You know,
Tennessee helped this week.
Tennessee's a two-loss team, too. You know, would Texas beat Tennessee in a game? You know, that's what you have to think right there. I'm just trying to think, if Texas is a two-loss team, give me all the two-loss teams that are in this thing and just start playing them off. Is Alabama's got three losses. They're completely out.
Yeah, Alabama and Ole Miss.
Yeah, so they're completely. I mean, but Alabama's 13th in this thing right now as we speak. So, I mean, I'm just looking at the polls. But so to me, I just kind of wonder if Texas were to lose this game, and you said would they be out? Mm-hmm. They were likely out. I don't know if the committee would take a 10-2 Texas team and not put them in the playoffs ahead of some of these other teams. I think they would. I think they would.
The Indiana, I think I would put it. Tennessee, I think there's a conversation. I don't know for sure that they'd beat Tennessee.
But see, they'll say what's Tennessee's signature win? Alabama.
Yeah.
There'd be no reason to put Tennessee in over Texas. And
that's a better win than any of the Texas wins.
With the brand of Texas. I think would override.
I just wonder. I mean, I just wonder for Texas' sake, does their whole season come down to one game where they've been in this top, you know, they've been in this top 10, top 12 really the whole year?
Yeah, I think they've got to beat A&M. I do.
Wow.
Because even Tennessee, that win over Alabama, that's a better signature win than any that Texas have.
I could see. I could just see.
And I don't know what the.
I could see
like
Indiana.
Approach,
I could
like,
see Indiana be like.
I think we all would too, but they might look at it and be like, "They're a one-loss Big Ten team, and it's not their fault."
They got crushed by Ohio State.
In a very similar boat as Texas is, where you look at who the teams they've beaten. It's not their fault that Washington and Michigan all ended up stinking this year.
What the committee will do is they'll justify it saying the Longhorns are the better team. They have the better chance at winning the championship, and then. In the back rooms, they'll talk about the difference in money and how much their sponsors will appreciate UT being on television instead of Indiana. I mean, it's probably a difference of close to nine figures.
Yeah.
It's just
the money aspect.
You can't look your sponsors in the face seriously if you put Indiana in over UT. Yeah. If you have any sort,
they shouldn't put Texas in over Indiana. But if they lose to A&M this week, there's going to be a conversation about Texas's schedule and who they've beaten and will they be able to still get it. They need to take care of business. And
that's
beat
when
A&M.
The funny business that has hurt TCU and Baylor in the past will benefit. You know, the institution inside these borders.
And they did. They did hammer Florida, and Florida's looking better, but Florida was also with their third-string quarterback that day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, are they going to knock them for that? They didn't even put Florida State in because Florida State was going to be playing with their third-string quarterback. So, you don't want to leave it up to the committee.
That's
right. If you're the Longhorns, just take care of your business.
Thank you, Wolchuk. We're live at Shell Shack here in Arlington. Join us all the way until 7 o'clock, a full show tonight. Then you'll get the Cowboys Hour with Brad Sham and special guests. Okay, coming up next, though, it's time for the NFL News of the Day. So much stuff coming out of this Week 12 slate. Well, Chuck, what are we leading with?
Yeah, my goodness. The Giants, soft as bleep. Is it Charmin soft over there? We've got some season enders, and the impact of Saquon Barkley has been tremendous. Ooh. That's next.